Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, that's that Miss Jenny Grut.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy, they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I love.
With my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
A memory.
Oh, what joy.
My friends at the old country church. Oft my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious of
memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again we come to you and we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we come asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us through this study, Father, to give us the guidance, the understanding, and the truth and depth of this, your word, Father. So that we can grow in spirit, in truth, and in obedience unto you, Father, and your word. Now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of the service this evening. And may the Holy Spirit open our hearts and minds to be receptive. So that we can, Father, learn. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We've been going through the book of Philippians. We're now in the last chapter. Chapter 4. There's only 4 chapters in Philippians. So we're going to be closing out this book this evening. All right. Beginning here with verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Synchethus that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your request be made known unto God. and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my afflictions. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once again unto my necessity, not because I desired a gift, but I desired fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of the Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And may the Lord add his blessing unto the reading of this his word. And now we ask the Holy Spirit to come forward to bring to you and I the message, the understanding, and the truth of this, of God's word. And we ask this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right, as we back up here now to this first verse, it says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. You know, that he starts out there with therefore. He's letting them know to stand fast or to persevere. You've got to stay put. And you've got to stay strong. And you just keep holding on. And that's so that we can have our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are not to allow. Now he's talking to the Philippians here. So he was talking to them about not allowing the Judaizers. And others. He's talking about Judaizers and perfectionists. And the Herodians. But not to allow any of them to disrupt their Christian walk. And we today, we cannot allow those that are walking in this world out here and those in our churches that are not teaching the truth of God's word to disrupt our law and our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to stand strong, stand firm on his word and living his word. Bring this living word into our lives so that we make it actually a living word. Because you see, for those that are born again children of God, there's nothing impossible for us. And there is nothing really out here in this world or Satan himself that can stand against you and I when we are the children of God. Because we have the deity of the Godhead living in us. We've got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all living inside you and I with that power. So nothing can stand against that unless we allow it. We have to let it happen. That's why we have choices to make. Now, do we get tried? Oh, yes. God does try us. He'll let Satan tempt you to see if you will stand and if you are willing to stand. Because, see, as long as we are willing to stand against Satan and that demonic force, the Lord is there and he makes a way for us to get through it and to do away with it. He don't leave us just on our own. Now, sometimes that seems kind of hard to understand because we all get kind of down at times. And we all get a feeling once in a while that we are alone. But we're not. Because we are, those that are born again, we are a house where God is living and dwelling. And he's always there. And he's told us. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. If there's any leaving done, we have to do it. We have to walk away from him. And that's not even easy done, because once you are born again and your name has been put into that book of life, the Lord ain't going to turn you loose very easy. And he's right there. And the Holy Spirit is there to help us through anything that we have to face. And we have the power and all within to make it through. Now, here in verse 2, he says, I beseech Eodias and beseech Cynthius that they be of the same mind in the Lord. This is because, you see, those two, although they were both men of God, they wasn't really living in harmony. They were at difference with each other and all about the same manner. They were believers, you know, but on certain things, they didn't agree. And as the children of God, we have to live in harmony. We're told that place after place after place in the scripture about living in harmony and unity. That's why we're told to stand fast. And here in verse 2, he told them that they should be of the same mind in the Lord. That means to be in unity and harmony. Because we are to be having the same belief with each other. Because of the Word of God. Because this is what we're to be standing on. We don't belong to these churches out here that has built these walls that's caused division among God's people, or those that call themselves God's people. Because a lot of them are not God's people. They call themselves God's people because they go under a name of a church. But when you are in these churches, you can see that they are not teaching actually God's word. They're teaching and taking God's word, twisting and turning, added to and taken from it to make it say what they want it to say instead of what it has to say. We had an example of that Sunday night, if you remember. When I took you and showed you, and showed you even within the study Bible, how men would twist and turn it. That even in this study Bible that I've got here, some of the footnotes are not right. Because these footnotes were made by scholars. Those that believe themselves to be mighty men of the Bible study. And they were dependent on themselves instead of dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we found that out in our study Sunday night. Now, verse 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. True yoke fellows, in other words, comrades or partners, brothers in Christ, whatever. But Paul here is identifying them as a friend. And he would actually, and wanted to recognize, and them to recognize, the two women and have them reconciled one to another, because they were children of God. They were children of God, but they just was not getting along with each other, but they was working with him and helping to take care of his needs as he was going about his ministry and his church work. And he wanted them to learn to live together harmoniously in unity. Because you see, that's something we have to start doing here on this earth. We can't wait until we get to heaven to live harmoniously. Because unless we can live within our fellowship in harmony, we ain't gonna make heaven our home. So all these out here that is teaching contrary to the word of Almighty God, they're not going to make it. Unless they finally wake up and find out how wrong they've been and go and repent and have Jesus to come into their lives. And as the Bible called it, do their first works over. Now, there'll come a time in your life to where if you was to fall away, which is not likely, but there is a possibility, and if it was to happen, you couldn't get right. He tells us that. He tells us there can be a time that we can seek for him with tears. We can cry and beg and seek and still not be able to find him because we walk too far. You see, in the study of the Bible, you find out a lot of things that are not taught anymore in the church that exist between us and God. There's a silver cord once we become that child of God. It ties us to him. And if we back off too far and that cord gets broken, there's no way back. And we're told that in the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Not just in that many, that same words, but it means the same thing. And, you know, when you look at that, you can see, you see, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he gave his life for you and I, he gave it for a reason. And the reason he gave his life was for something that the church don't even want to hear today. They don't believe in it. They don't believe in that word, perfect or perfection. And yet, in the 10th chapter and the 14th verse, it says, for by one offering, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Those that have been called and become born again children of God have been set aside for his purpose. He has perfected them. His word, not mine, his. But yet the churches today don't want to hear that. They'll tell you there's none perfect, no, not one. They're calling God a liar. Because that's not the only place you're going to find where he's telling you to be perfect. He tells you in several places, be ye perfect as I am. We're told in another place to be perfect as Jesus was. But yet the church hates that word. And they tell you no one is perfect. Calling God a liar. And they really believe that. It says, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he has said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. You see, that's why we can reach this spiritual perfection. We're talking about a spiritual perfection, not this body being perfect. This body ain't perfect. But the spirit and how we walk in our life is to be. Now, and we can, because if we are actually born again and we are his children, we belong in the church, and in the church is where you learn his word. And you share it with each other so that you all grow stronger. Where there's two or three of us together. Well, we've got that many tonight. In fact, we've got a few more than that. Counting ones over here with us that's online with us. And he says, where there's just two or three of you together. He says, there I am in the midst. So he's here with us. right now. We don't have to wonder about and wonder where he's at. His word has just told us. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Once you've repented, you don't go back and do them same old sins again. Because if you do, you don't have any sacrifice for them. Now, we're going to drop on down here now. Let's just go on where we are. 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We don't all laugh when we fulfill the plan of salvation. When we repented and we were baptized, all of that has taken place. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. He's telling you right there, don't stay away from church. Don't take yourself away from assembling with others of the children of Almighty God. Well, this is where we come together at the church today. And he's telling us not to forsake that. And he also lets us know that there are others that's doing that very thing. Well, we know that, but we know some of them. And we see them doing it. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, here's what we come over here to really see. God's word. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, once we find out something is sin, we don't do that. We can't do it because we have no sacrifice for it. Once For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. You see, that wasn't my word when I was telling you there wasn't no more sacrifice. That's his word. So when we know something's sin, you leave it alone. You don't do it over and over and keep going back to him and say, well, Lord, I've done this again, so now forgive me for it. Well, raise up. Well, thank you, Lord, you forgave me again. Every time you do that, you're calling him a liar. Because he said there wasn't none. Now, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. That's what you got to look forward to when you want to keep committing them same old sins over and over and over, thinking God's going to just keep forgiving them. You see, when I stood and told you time after time that you can't do that and make heaven your home, They mock me. They make fun of me. They tell other people I'm lying to them. Because, you see, they've got them deceived, and they keep on deceiving them. Now, verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Well, we know that these, when we become believers in the Lord God, our names are being recorded in heaven. Think about that. And we are to rejoice in the Lord always. And when we do, then we'll have harmony among us as church members and as Paul tells us to be. Think about that. There's not to be all of this bickering and differences among us. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Moderation, what does that mean? That means to be gracious and reasonable. In other words, you keep things within reason. Now, and once we, as believers, have become believers, we are to have peace and to fellowship with other children of God or other Christians, if you want to call them that. And we are to rejoice always and praise and give God thanks for everything that he has given to us, that we have. You wouldn't have the clothes on you right now if God hadn't allowed it, regardless of what they are. You can't get your next breath without him. You know, he talks about there, the Lord is at hand. You know, that has a couple of different meanings. That means one day he's going to return to the earth. And we also know that he will judge the believer for all the way we have lived and how we have acted toward other people and how we've accepted the wrongs that others has done to us, whether we are holding a grudge or whether we have actually forgiven and really walked with that forgiveness, or if we just spoke forgiveness by the mouth and still in our hearts we've got that resentment. And we're not to walk with fear and anxiety. We are to walk in the Spirit with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Now, 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. You see, I just told you about that. But he's saying here in the 6th verse to be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Why? Don't have to. Don't need to. If you're a child of God, because as we talked about, he's there with you. And you're not going to have to face anything alone and by yourself. And that's what he's telling you here. Don't worry about anything. Because the Lord's nearness is always there with us. And you know, as long as we are walking as a child of God, we should not have any concerns for anything this world throws at us out here. Because we've got something far greater than that. And the way that you and I can live while we're here on this earth and walk free of anxiety is to do so by walking prayerfully about everything, because we know that when we do that, God is eager to hear our requests, but they are to be made known with thanksgiving. You don't just go to God and say, well, God, you know, I've got this on my mind and I need this, Lord. And then just quit there. No, thank him for it. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the answer to this. Thank you, Lord, for your word that will guide me in the way I need to go and how I need to look at this. And always, we should always finish our prayers. Lord, I give you thanks, and I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And you'll find that God is there more often than you think he is, because he will talk to you. He goes on here in 7 to tell us that when we are walking that way, according to verse 6, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When we place our minds and all on the things of the kingdom of Almighty God, the Lord is there with us. Jesus is right there. And he's there to keep that heart and mind straight and to fill it with joy and peace. Now, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, these are things right now you and I are supposed to be having in our lives. Here's what we're to look for. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, and if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. That's what our heart and mind is to be fixed on. And when we do that, we are looking at things in the kingdom. We're giving God and the Lord Jesus Christ praise and thanksgiving for our lives and for what they have done for us and what their plan for our lives are. Because you see, that plan is not just for here on earth, but for those that are born again children of God. God's plan is through eternity, not just here, but through eternity. Because according to the way you live your life here and how you walk in obedience here is how you are rewarded when you get there. Think about that. And we're told this time after time. In fact, it ain't been too long ago we had it in our message. Now, Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Paul is telling the Philippian church here, he said, those things you see me do and that you heard me say, you do it. But that's also why Paul told, he said, you can use me as an example. Because Paul lived it. He didn't just preach it, he lived it. And that's what we are to do. That's what these ministers behind these podiums, that's what they are to be doing, is living this word that they are teaching. You don't teach one thing and live something else. Because for one, that makes you a liar and a hypocrite. And you're going to miss your way into heaven. Now, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Paul's letting them know about their care for him and how they were concerned for him. And Paul acknowledges that they were concerned and they met his needs as his needs came along. But there was a time or two that they missed the opportunity. But it wasn't, you know, it wasn't because they didn't want to. It was because they lacked that opportunity to be able to do it. Now, verse 11, he says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Paul's letting them know that what he is telling them is not because that's what he's telling and speaking to them for, is for them to send him more gifts. But he's letting them know that he was speaking to them and giving them thanks for what they had done for him, but that he has also learned, regardless of what his state is, he could still be walking in joy because he belonged to the Lord and the Lord was with him. So whatever state he was in, whether he had plenty or whether he didn't have plenty, he was still all right. He goes on in 12, talking about the same thing. I know both how to be abased or how to be without, and I know how to abound, how to have plenty. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer needs. He has lived all of it, and he has learned how to live contented and without fear or remorse when he didn't have things that others would think he really needed. He might miss a meal or two, but he learned to do and rejoice, even though he had to miss a meal or two. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Think about that. Do all things which strengtheneth me. I'm saying a whole lot in it. But that's exactly what I teach here. How many times have you heard me preach that? We can do whatsoever God will call us to do, because he's here with us. We have him in us. His power lays within his children. We have the power and the authority to use it. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my afflictions. Now he's giving them kind of a praise here because they were there when he needed them and he needed things. But there was times that they couldn't do it because they didn't have the opportunity to do it. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving or receiving, but ye only. Paul's letting them know they were the only ones at times that ministered to him. One of those places where he was at was Macedonia. And we know that they also sent to him when he was in Thessalonica. And also when he was in Rome. And he's thanking them for that. Now, Paul tells them here in 17, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Paul is praising them for what they've done, but he's letting them know that one reason he has even accepted these things from them was to lift them up, to help them in the eyes of God. But their gift to him helped him to bear fruit in his ministry in helping others, which was also making a way for God to bless them. Because their gifts to the apostle, to Paul there, was an investment in the work and the treasures of heaven. And each one would actually yield dividends, which would bring a blessing unto the Philippian people. And it's the same way today. That's why you hear me. You don't hear me ask anyone for money for this church. But you hear me preach about tithing. Because that tithing blesses you. Although it has a double blessing. Because yes, it would help this church. Because this ministry, I give to other ministries. We give monthly to a mission in Israel to help the homeless, the older people over there that don't have a home, the children right now that don't have a home, because so many places are being blown up and so many families are being destroyed. We give to them every month. We give to St. Jude's Children's Hospital here in our country, right here in Tennessee, because that hospital takes care of children with cancer and terminal diseases of all kinds. They never charge the families for their service. There's never a charge made. It's all done by donation. We donate to them every month. I give a donation to an Indian school here in the United States, our Native American school, because they have got homeless kids because our forefathers put them on a reservation that really didn't support them and couldn't support them. And they have it hard. We give to them. So when you pay your, give your offerings and your tithes here, yes, it helps this ministry because that's the only way this ministry has got any income to where it can give to someone else. Well, I don't take pay for it. No one else in this ministry gets paid. We all give our time is given unto God. And we help each other. We help others out here that will need help. Now, sometimes they'll come and they'll ask for a loan. Well, if they ask for a loan, if I can do it, I will. And sometimes they'll pay it back, sometimes they don't. You know. But if they really ask for a loan, they ought to pay it back. Because that's keeping your word with God. That's keeping the covenant with Him. If you can't do it, then you need to let God know, Lord, I wanted to pay this back, but I just don't have it. I can't do it. He'll either bless you with a way that you can, or He just forgives you because you can. He knows your situation. And your tithes, that's something that is hard for mankind to understand. And it's harder to get them to do it, to even get them to try it. Because they just look and they'll say, I don't have it. I can't, because I can't do that and pay my bills. They don't stop and think that if they gave God what belongs to Him, He'd see that they had enough to pay their bills. But that's why they can't pay their bills, because they're not giving God what is His. That tithe is not even ours. That's not mine to do what I want to with. When I spend that my tithe myself for other things, I'm robbing God. Third chapter of Malachi tells you that. In the eyes of God, when you spend His money and you ain't paying Him His money, He says you're a robber and a thief. And as long as we don't do it, we're not going to be blessed by God. He's not going to pull you out a financial blessing and help you, because you're not walking with Him. You pay your tithes and you'll find out, won't be long, and you won't be needing so much money to pay all these bills off, because you'll find that there's been a way made for a few of them bills to be paid. Oh, now, Pastor, don't oh, now, Pastor, me, I know, because you see, I've lived it. I lived from paycheck to paycheck. Didn't know how I was going to pay bills when the bill time was rolled around. And there was times I was looking and I'd say, well, you know, I just can't pay my tithes this month. But then when I found out really what it was all about, I said, I'm going to pay it. This bill can wait, that bill can wait, this bill can wait, but I'm going to pay my tithes. And I started paying my tithes. Now I don't have none of them bills. All them bills are paid off. Don't have none of them. In fact, even more than them bills is paid off. In fact, right now, as far as any loans or anything, I don't owe no man nothing. No mortgage, nothing mortgaged or nothing. Just my regular monthly living bills. My light bill, my car insurance. The gas bill, propane gas bill for cooking and heating and things that way. My phone bill, that's it. I don't have all them others anymore. But I had to start paying my tithes first. Once I started really walking in true obedience unto the Word of God, and I seen the truth of what was going on, it didn't take me long until I could see God's hand in my life a lot stronger and a lot more blessings coming my way. But it's hard to get mankind to believe that. Because he'll sit down and he'll look at his bills and he looks at his income and I just can't do it and pay that bill. Let that bill go. Give God what's his. See what he does for you. Now, but I'm talking to the child of God. I ain't talking to that sinner out there, because that sinner out there, he ain't going to get no blessing from God, because he can't buy his way into heaven. And when you're paying your tithes, you ain't buying your way into heaven. All you're doing is giving God what's his. Because he tells you, that ain't yours. That 10%, that first 10% of your income is not yours at all. It's his. That's why it's called tithes. Belongs to him. Now, but I have all and abound, I am full, 18, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. You see, the gifts they were sending to Paul to help him, he was considering them as a sacrifice for the Philippian church. And he was letting them know that that was well-pleasing to God. When we are helping others, as I was telling you we do, that is what pleases God. That's what we are supposed to be doing. I only wish that I had more so I could help more than what I'm doing. I'd like to be able to send to each one that I'm helping right now, I'd like to be able to send twice what I'm sending right now. I can't because don't have it, but I'd like to. And if we keep growing, there will be a time I'll be able to. And as soon as I can, I will do it. Now, 19. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now to God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. He's letting them know that God would supply all their needs according to his riches and glory. And everything belongs to him. He ain't in need, but he can supply all of our needs. But we have to walk with him. We have to be obedient unto him, living his word, doing what he asks of us to do. Because you see, he ended that with, now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. We're going to stop there for the night. We're not going to have communion tonight. But we will have communion Thursday night. Now, let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for a place and a time that we can come together to share and to study your word and to be supportive with each other. And Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and to see to their needs. For Israel and Jerusalem, Father, we pray for peace for them. And we pray, Father, for help for them and their needs. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel, all of Israel, will be known as a land for Jesus. And this land of ours, Father, that without any excuse, it turned its back upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It turned its back upon your church and upon your people. And Father, we're asking for the help of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to help us to remove from office these, Father, that are against the church, against Jesus, and against your people, and help us to replace them with ones that will stand for the church and for Jesus and will work with us to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for our prayer list, as these names are spoken, Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to touch that one, fulfill whatever need they have, Father, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom's young son Jacob, for Terry Coates, for Dennis Breeden, his wife Tina, the brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg, Father, Pastor Small and the Glory Bound Church of Irvington, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. Now, Father, these churches, make them lighthouses to the community in which they stand. And these pastors, Father, fill them with the Holy Spirit into these churches, Father, not only lighthouses, but they become places of refuge to where the lost can go that are walking in darkness and find light, and that light being Jesus. For Will, this young man, Father, our prayer for him is that he is the minister today that you want him to be. Pastor Eric and his wife, Jackie, Father, you know the need there. We lift them up, put them in your hands. That little full gospel church of God there at Akron, Father, fill it with the Holy Spirit. Fill it with the truth of the gospel. Keep one there, Father, that will see the work of the Lord done. Now, Father, for my friends in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, and Pastor Zephyrin Iron, Father, keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. Father, for the Johnson family, for the Lee family, for the Branson family, for my wife's family, my family, and for each one that has heard this message, Father, for not only them, but their families also, that they all, Father, can have their needs met, and that they'll all find the Holy Spirit working among them to turn them from darkness to light, and that light being Jesus, so that none be lost and all will be able to make heaven their home. For Jimmy Embry, Sharon Mombello and her mother, for Sue, for Palance Goodman, for Kelly Smith and his wife. Father, for Mike Shillet. Father, these all stand in need of the healing hand of Jesus. Your word tells us that by his stripes we are healed. We are calling for this healing to be done, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And God bless. All right, everyone, remember, good Lord willing, we can all be together again come Thursday night and back into his word. Where we're going to be, as of yet, I don't know. But the Spirit knows where God will want us. And we'll find out Thursday night. But also Thursday, we are to have an ordination of one into the ministry of Almighty God. So until then, walk with God, he'll walk with you. Have a good night now. Bye-bye.